There we are. So we're here. This is the day, says our Bible reading, that the Lord has made. We chose not to sing that one. We thought it might have been a bit too obvious. This is the day that the Lord has made. Every day is the day the Lord has made. And we're not huge on church tradition in the Salvation Army. We sort of built our own traditions in many ways. But traditionally through the church, every Sunday is a day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we've chosen to celebrate this day and not on Saturday, which was the rest day, the Sabbath day of the Israelites. We choose to gather on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And this day particularly is a day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. This is the day we pay attention particularly to the events of his resurrection. So we've heard the reading from Psalms, which speaks to us about the joy and the excitement of learning that this is what God has done for us. We've had the reading from the account of the resurrection, where the grave of Jesus was found to be empty. And as I said in my introductory comments, everybody's going to die, but the trick is to get better. And Jesus has got better, and he's been raised from the dead. Not like Lazarus, raised to die again. Not like Enoch, who was taken away and never died. But Jesus did die, and he was raised, never to die again. And this has an effect on our living. This is the thing that marks the Christian faith. There are many things that we have in common with the teaching of other faiths. But this thing is the thing that marks the Christian faith. That we have a God who came to us in the person of Jesus, who really, truly died, who really, truly was God completely present in one human being, who died and who by the power of God was raised to life again, never to die. Okay? Even the Norse gods, you know, their God dies to rise again, to be killed again. And they had this sense that they're chained to the wheel, to pinch the name of a song, that this goes on and on and on. Well, we don't pretend that Jesus actually dies every Good Friday. We remind each other that it happened once. Amen. We don't pretend that Jesus rises to life again each Easter Sunday. We remind ourselves each Easter Sunday that it happened once, and that one singular event has changed all of our lives forever. Okay. There are other readings. I'll remember where I've put my Bible. There's another reading, and it's a reading from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of my favourite passage of the Bible. But it's a bit of a challenge too. It's a passage that tells us, that Acts chapter 10, the whole chapter, is a passage that speaks to us of God communicating with us clearly. It's a chapter that talks to us about God coordinating two different people, unrelated people, who are both listening to him, to achieve a single result. That's not what we're talking about today. It's a passage about God reaching out to everybody, past the immediate, what might seem the immediate boundaries of his people, to reach out beyond there to welcome somebody else in. And that is part of what we're speaking about today, because this is the story where Peter was having a rest after a meal. Who knows what that's like? But, you know, your big roast dinner and then a little bit of a nap. You might not take a nap, but a nap might take you. Yeah. And Peter woke up and had this vision of all these different foods put down in front of him. And some of them were foods that the Bible had said were unclean. And this voice from God says, eat them. And Peter says, no. They're unclean, I won't eat them. And the voice says, you know, three times. Peter's like that. He needs to be told three times. But there's something special about three too. We won't go into that today. Three times this voice, and finally Peter gets it. This is God telling him that things are changing. There's a new deal coming into being. That with the coming of Jesus and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, there's a new contract. The details of the old contract no longer bind us. The new contract comes. And the new contract isn't concerned with shellfish. Right? It isn't concerned with what sort of feet an animal has. It's concerned with our hearts.
Yes.
And so this voice from God says to Peter, take this stuff and eat it. And Peter suddenly gets it. It's not about food. It's about people. It's about how God deals with people. And this is the change that Jesus has brought about with his death and his resurrection. He has burst free, not just from the grave, but from any boundary that the Jewish people might have put him in, the Israelite religion, the Judaism might have put God in. He has burst free. This is the message of the ripped curtain in the temple, torn from the top down. God has taken the initiative to open himself up to everybody. Because while Peter was having this vision, this Roman guy from a long way away was having a vision as well. And he had a vision of a guy called Peter living in a particular house on a particular street, owned by a person of a particular name who had this particular job. And so Cornelius sent his servants to this particular house owned by this person who had a name, who had a job. And he found Peter. When did he find Peter? Just after, immediately after, it had twigged in Peter's brain or in his heart that God is opening himself up to everybody. So Peter goes downstairs and there's these two guys waiting for him. Our boss wants you to come and talk to him. He's heard about this Jesus and he wants to know what's going on. So Peter goes and he talks to Cornelius. He talks to this Gentile person. He goes into his house, which 2 hours earlier would have been unthinkable for a Jewish person to go into a Gentile's house. But Peter's got it. The death and resurrection of Jesus has changed things. So he goes out boldly, knowing that the world has changed because Jesus has come and has died and has been raised again. And he enters the house of this unclean person. And he hears this man's story. He says, I want to hear about Jesus. So Peter tells him about Jesus. And this story tells us that even Gentiles get to apologize to God.
Amen.
And here's what Peter says. I now understand how true it is that God has no favorites, but that in every nation, those who are God-fearing and do what's right are acceptable to him. He sent his word to the Israelites and gave the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. I need not tell you what's happened lately all over the land of the Jews, starting from Galilee after the baptism proclaimed by John. You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Because God was with him, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And we can bear witness to all that he did in the Jewish countryside and in Jerusalem. They put him to death, hanging him on a gibbet. But God raised him to life on the third day and allowed him to be clearly seen, not by the whole people, but by witnesses whom God had chosen in advance, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to proclaim him to the people and affirm that he is the one designated by God as the judge of the living and the dead. It's to him that all the prophets testify, declaring that everyone who trusts in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So this is a message of Peter to the people who days earlier Peter would never have imagined sharing this fantastic news to, because the death and resurrection of Jesus has changed everything. It has completely rewritten the ground rules. And it has taken us back to what God has always intended, that God is available to everybody. Even the Gentiles have the opportunity to trust in Jesus. Some people take this story and take it to mean that this is a story that no matter what people believe, they'll get to God. It's not what I read. I read that Gentiles have the right to trust in Jesus as well. Everyone comes to God the same way, through trusting in Jesus, who died and was raised to life again. So I said in the song that we sang, In Christ Alone, that there's so much truth in that. There's so much teaching in that song, which is not common with a lot of our songs these days. A lot of the songs we sing are us expressing our joy, our excitement at being loved by God. But this one, In Christ Alone, gets us to speak to each other about the truths of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And then I said in that last verse, it talks about how our lives will be different. Do you remember the words of that last verse? No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. This is the change that comes about in our lives because we trust in the risen Jesus. We look at the disciples and we see a fearful bunch of people hiding in a room until they meet the risen Jesus. And then they go out and they stand up in front of thousands and thousands of people and tell them about him. The fact that we trust in a risen Jesus changes our lives, changes everything for us. There's another reading, and it's a reading from the book of Colossians. And Colossians chapter 3, just a couple of verses. Weren't you raised to life with Christ? Then aspire to the realm above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand, and fix your thoughts on the higher realm, not on this earthly life. You died, and now your life lies hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you too will be revealed with him in glory. You too will be revealed with him in glory because you have trusted in Christ. Because Christ has died, he welcomes us into his death. And that's what the normal act celebrated by Christians to mark entry into God's people, that is to say baptism, that's the normal thing that Christian people do. In the Salvation Army, we choose not to for reasons we won't go into right now. But the normal thing for Christians is to mark our entry into God's people with baptism. And the Bible tells us that that baptism is a sign of us going down and sharing in the death of Jesus and coming up again. And Paul says to the church in Colossae, since you have shared in Christ's death, you share in his resurrection. You do come up out of the water, which is an encouraging thing. But more than coming up out of the water, we come up to a new world. We come up to a new order. Everything is different. The resurrection of Jesus is available to us. The resurrection power of Jesus is available to us. Our world is different because Jesus died. Jesus rose again, and Jesus welcomed us to join him and to experience the power of his resurrection. Now, in 50 days, we're going to investigate that a whole lot more in a lot more detail when we look at Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But for now, our thoughts are on the difference that Jesus has made by rising again, which is what we celebrate today. And the difference is this. We had it in one of our readings in recent weeks. And really cleverly. My bookmarks fall out, but it's all right. I know how to find Romans 8. In Romans 8, Paul speaks about life through the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is empowering and stirring us, if the risen Christ is enabling us to live a different life, I'll just go back a little earlier. Those who live on the level of the old nature, before we've taken advantage of identification with the risen Jesus. Those who live on the level of the old nature have their outlook formed by it, and that spells death. But those who live on the level of the Spirit have the spiritual outlook, and that is life and peace. For the outlook of the unspiritual nature is enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God, and indeed it can't be. Those who live under its control can't please God. But you don't live like that. You live by the Spirit, since God's Spirit dwells in you. And anyone who doesn't possess the Spirit of God doesn't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then although the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is your life because you've been justified. Moreover, and here's the verse I'm coming to, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give new life to your mortal bodies through his indwelling Spirit. And that's the message of today. That the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is ours.
Yes.
To give fresh life, new life to our weak, feeble bodies. He gives us a different sort of life. See, there's two sorts of new, isn't there? There's your tyres start to wear down and you go and get new tyres. And they're probably the same brand as what you had before. You remember the Valvoline ad where John Laws said, I've always changed my oil, but I never changed my oil. Right? In other words, he refreshes the Valvoline, but he sticks with Valvoline. Right? What this is saying is that this is like switching from Valvoline to Castrol. Not that I'm equating one with the other or anything, but this is one sort of life for a different sort of life. It's not like Lazarus, right, who had a second go at the same sort of life. This is a new sort of life. It's a whole new deal. Right? We are changing our oil. The oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We are changing our oil. We're changing the why of our living. And we're even changing the how of our living. Because Jesus was not held back by death. Jesus was not held back by sin. And we need not be held back by sin either. Because Jesus has risen from the dead. We can live a life that is not limited by sin or death or frustration. We can live a life that demonstrates the power of the living God in us. This is why today is so special. It's not just a history lesson about what happened to Jesus some time ago. It's understanding why it makes a difference to us today. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, we have a whole new world order. We have a whole new deal, a whole new contract to work in. And it's the one where we get to walk around with God inside us, leaking God out everywhere, consciously or unconsciously, because we've got God in us. We can infect everybody we meet with God. Amen. Isn't that a great idea?
Amen.
Yes. Okay, so this is the power of Christ in me. I can be a person who is indwelt by the living God. And that changes everything about my life. All my sins no longer hold me back. The power of the living God moves me forward and enables me to achieve his purposes. That's true for every one of us who trusts in Jesus.